Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank you for the last bit of time that we have here together. Thank you for the new friendships that have been formed and for the time we've been able to commune together. And now, Father, as our brains are tired, just refresh us for this last presentation, Lord. Teach us again how we can apply your word. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your phone, I'm actually going to ask you for once to take it out. If you would please join me in opening up your browser, and we're going to go to training.afco.org. Training.afco.org. When you go to training.afco.org, it's going to ask for your name and your email address. Training.afco.org. What we would like to do is send you one survey, and in this survey, we're going to ask, were there things that you enjoyed about the program? What was most helpful? Are there areas that you would like to see improved? What resources would you like to receive? We are also going to take the names that are submitted, and we're going to do basically a drawing, randomly select one of the names, and you'll be receiving some evangelism resources. We will mail a Winsome Witnessing book to you from Gary Gibbs. So please join us there, training.afco.org. The other thing to mention is, the last presentation I gave on nurturing new believers is not in your syllabus, and some of you were scrambling to get the notes down. If you would like, I would be happy to send you a PDF of my PowerPoint. So if you email me at cmcsherry@amazingfacts.org, that is cmcsherry. At amazingfacts.org, cmcsherry@amazingfacts.org, and I'd be happy to email that PDF to you. All right, we're going to go ahead and commence. This, again, is Gaining Decisions, the moment of truth, helping your friends make decisions for Jesus. There was an evangelist by the name of D.L. Moody. Have you heard of him before?
Yes.
D.L. Moody. He was, again, a very famous evangelist, and he would travel around the United States holding large tent meetings. Hundreds or even thousands would attend. One time, D.L. Moody was preaching in the city of Chicago, and he did something a little different at this seminar, and it was a decision that he would regret for the rest of his life. You see, his sermon that night, that Sunday evening, was what to do with Jesus. He said, tonight I'm not going to ask you to make a decision. Instead, I just simply want you to consider this week, what do you want to do with Jesus? And then, next week, I will give you an opportunity to decide. But you see, for many of the people there in his audience, next week never came. That very night, the great Chicago fire swept throughout Chicago, killing many of those that were in attendance that night, destroying their homes and their businesses. And he said until his dying day that he deeply regretted that decision, not giving those in his audience an opportunity to decide what to do with Jesus. So also, we must consider that the Bible study we give could be the very last opportunity they have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. It may be because they're going to be in a car accident the next day, but it also simply could be that at that moment they are the most ripe and the most receptive to making a decision. And if I don't offer them the opportunity, the next time their heart is a bit more hardened, the next time it's even more hard, and they will not be ripe again for that opportunity. Again, we are told by Christ that the harvest is great, the laborers are
few.
What happens to a ripe harvest if you don't gather that fruit? Going to rot. And it's the same thing spiritually speaking. If we don't give people an opportunity to make the decision, if we don't pick that fruit, it is going to rot. And they won't come to make that decision. Every decision that it's made, whether it's to purchase new shoes, accept new truth, or join the Seventh-day Adventist Church, requires four basic levels of decision-making. So So today, again, we're going to be looking at these four basic levels of decision-making and considering how can we apply them in our appeal. The first level is information. The most important thing to remember about information, let the Bible do the speaking. It's very easy when someone is saying, hey, I believe this. I believe that we should be going to church on Sunday. It doesn't matter what day we keep. It's easy for me to jump right in and give my opinion. But if they don't see it in the Bible, if I'm not pointing them to the scripture, then it is merely my opinion. And if I'm just offering my opinion, what will they do in turn?
Offer theirs.
Offer theirs. And now we're arguing back and forth over opinion. Let the Bible do the speaking. So they raise an objection, they raise a question. Oh, that's an interesting point. Thank you for sharing. Let's look at what the Bible has to say. Let the Bible do the speaking. All right, let's say that we're giving a Bible study on the Sabbath. What information would someone need to know about the Sabbath before they can make a decision to keep it? Okay, what is it? Okay, so people say that it was changed. Mm-hmm. Why do they say that? Was it changed? Good. Why was it established? Which will take us back to where?
Creation.
Creation. Genesis, the very beginning. What else?
When does it start?
When does it start? Absolutely. Is it at midnight? Sundown Friday, right? What else?
Just why Jews?
Was it just for the Jews? Good.
Why is it important?
Why is it even important? Can't we just keep any day?
What did Jesus do?
Yes, what was Christ's example? Good. What else? Did the disciples keep the Sabbath?
Mm-hmm.
Or would we be keeping the Sabbath in heaven?
Yes. Yes.
Was it written on stone?
Yes.
Yes. So all of these things I need to share with someone before they are ready to make a decision to keep the Sabbath.
I think they need to know the basic reason for Sabbath, or why we keep Sabbath, and who it is we honor on Sabbath.
Okay.
First of all, they know, they need to know God. They need to have faith in God in order to keep the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. So the essence of the Sabbath, again, is that relationship with Jesus Christ, that personal commitment.
Okay. Who it's for.
Who it's for.
Mm-hmm.
Sabbath was made for man, for mankind. Excellent. So all of this information needs to be presented before they are ready to make a decision. If you call for a decision before there is adequate information, the individual will make a negative decision. And once they make a negative decision, it's very difficult to take that wall back down. Just to illustrate this, ladies, imagine that you are on a blind date. It doesn't sound too appealing, does it? And you're on this blind date, and you have never met this individual before. You don't know much about him at all. And there you are on this blind date, and you are enjoying the candlelight and the music, and you're eating your pasta, and you're talking together, and suddenly he has this really sweet look in his eye, and he looks over at you and he says, will you marry me? Ladies, what would you say?
I don't know.
See, that's just not very convincing. Like, I'm hoping the answer would be no, right? You're crazy. An automatic no. And if he asks you out on the second date, what would you say?
No.
No. Right, this guy is crazy. Of course I'm not going to marry you. I've only known you for one date. You could be a serial murderer. Right, I don't have enough information. And again, there would not be a second date because this guy is creepy. And there's a negative decision. That wall goes up, phone number blocked. Okay? And the same thing again applies spiritually speaking. If I call someone to make a decision and they don't have enough information, they're still confused, now they're going to be like, whoa, too much. Wall is going up. No more Bible study. So make sure you present that information clearly. Be careful of information overload. Present truth gradually. If you want a very applicable illustration for information overload,